This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Those of us who live in Michigan really grew up with an ingrained awareness of the Great Lakes. We drink the water, we sail and swim in the lakes, build homes and cottages on their shorelines, and we live with the weather they help produce. And the Great Lakes are an economic power player, contributing $1 trillion to America's gross national product. And let's not overlook that $4 billion Great Lakes fishing industry. A new documentary film brings us a unique look at the Great Lakes. Project Ice explores the crucial role that ice has played and continues to play in shaping and maintaining Michigan's most important resource. We're joined now by the executive producer and the director of Project Ice, Bill Kleinert. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, Cindy. So good to be here.
Well, this is a two-hour, gorgeously photographed documentary film, but it started, I guess, as a look at the historic ferries on the Straits of Mackinac. So how did it grow up and evolve into a look at the whole Great Lakes region?
It did. My writing partner, Brian Jeske, who's the Registrar of Historic Collections for the Mackinac State Historic Parks, he is the foremost authority on the car ferries that traverse the Straits of Mackinac. And of course, these are car ferries because they're not automobile ferries. They're rail car ferries because they date back to the 1880s. And of course, automobiles did not yet exist. So that was our initial idea, was to tell their story, because those early car ferries, which were designed and constructed to be able to work in the very difficult icy conditions of the Straits in the winter, those really are the progenitors of all modern icebreakers throughout the world. That many of the elements of design that were incorporated in those ferries are still in use today in icebreaker vessels throughout the world.
So it opened your eyes to the idea of ice.
It did.
And the impact.
It did. And we decided to go back and start looking, as you know, having seen the film now, we start looking about 30,000 years ago at the end of the last major ice age, and very rapidly then bring you to the present. But we show the geology and formation of the Great Lakes early on, and then we move into the first peopling of the Great Lakes by what we now would refer to as Native Americans, and then move rapidly to the European explorers. And so the vast majority of our story takes place, say, between 1850 and the present, and then looking beyond.
You had a lot of balancing to do in the story you tell about the Great Lakes, because there is the sense of the history, understanding. We learn more about ice than I dare say most of your viewers will have ever known.
As I did.
We get a sense of the beauty, the fun, and the danger. So much to balance, and the economy, the economics of the Great Lakes.
Yes.
Tough juggling act.
Yes, it was. And we literally had a large bulletin board in our primary studio, and we put cards for every segment, every interview, and every other, as we refer to them, as action segment, up on that board. And that became a big juggling act, because we wanted to give the audience a story that they could follow. And we also wanted to inject in there our action elements that would keep it lively and interesting. So we did a lot of moving around.
It was so fun to meet people that cannot wait for winter and the ice to come. Let's take a listen to a clip from Project Ice. This is where we meet ice climber Bill Thompson, who really makes the most of the ice that comes from the Great Lakes.
It's just something that when you're swinging your ice axes and when you hit it and you know it's good, it's good. And the same thing with your feet. And I just love that feeling. When you're climbing, you totally forget about everything else and you're just listening to the ice. And I think it's just a unique experience.
Bill certainly puts those of us to shame who kind of think of winter and time to sit inside and get caught up on Game of Thrones.
No, he's out
drink
there.
Drink cocoa. He's out there.
He's
ice
out
climbing.
There just as soon as he can and as long as he can be.
It's a great, great segment. Yeah. We also meet pond hockey players.
Yes.
We meet ice fishermen. So these are the folks that really rely on the Great Lakes and on the ice and on the winter.
It's quintessential Michigan in winter.
It is. I'm speaking with Bill Kleinert. He's the executive director and the producer of Project Ice. It's a documentary film that looks at the Great Lakes and at the ice that's such an integral part of the lakes, past and present. As you spoke to the many experts you talked to who care deeply about the Great Lakes, did you hear common messages from them about their concerns for the lakes?
Over and over and over, we kept hearing climate change, global warming. We kept hearing about the lake level drop, the precipitous lake level drop. And that's when we realized that we really had a different focal point than the purely historical one at which we started. And we knew that that needed to become the most important message that we were going to convey. And then we started digging further and further into the science behind that, and we found that with a lot of research and a lot of assistance from the NOAA's Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory here in Ann Arbor, we found that temperatures in the Great Lakes Basin over the past 40 years have been doing a upward rise that's highly demonstrable, and that Great Lakes ice cover and ice duration are doing exactly the opposite. Now, this year, obviously 2014
is quite the fluke.
It's an exception, but there will always be those exceptions. Henry Pollack, who's also a professor emeritus of geophysics here at U of M and who shares the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize with Al Gore for his work on the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, he became our science advisor. So he's taught me an awful lot about the climate and ice and what's going on. And of course, you never look – climate is not a day. It's not a week. It's not even a given year. Climate is long-term trends. So we looked very carefully at the past 40 years and saw this very, very demonstrable increase in temperature and the very demonstrable decrease in ice cover and duration. Just of note to your listeners, some of whom have maybe heard this, the National Climatic Data Center, which is located in Asheville, North Carolina, which is another part of NOAA, has the probably the best collection of climate data in the entire world for the planet, not just for the United States. They announced just a few weeks ago that January was the fourth warmest on record for the globally. So for the 134 years in which they have reliable temperature data. So that stands in stark contrast, of course, to what we experienced here in the Great Lakes with our polar vortex winter and extremely cold temperatures. But this is very much an outlier by comparison with the indisputable trend, which is increase in temperature and decrease in ice coverage and duration.
What kind of impact are you hoping that Project ICE will have as you get it out there, you get it in front of audiences? What
Yes.
are you hoping?
Well, first of all, I hope that the audience walks away with a greater awareness of the role that ICE has played for us as a society, for us culturally, and throughout the Great Lakes region, and to the economy, of course. And it has implications both in the winter and in the summer. In the summertime, it has implications for the shipping cycle, because ships have to operate at lower drafts, because with lake levels lower, they cannot carry as much cargo. That means more trips, more expense. Recreational boaters, there are people throughout the Great Lakes region who have docks that are high and dry because the lake levels had fallen so much. And it has implications for the fisheries as well, because when there is ice cover present, that helps the spawning cycle for certain species of fish. When ice is not present, then that kicks up the wave action. Storms will disturb those spawning beds. Storms will also further erode the beaches and further erode the shoreline. Whereas if there is stable ice present, which is the historic norm, then that reduces the opportunity for that kind of erosion and that kind of destruction.
As much as it's a cautionary tale of what could happen, I do feel that Project ICE is also a love letter to the Great Lakes.
It is indeed.
If you would like to see a screening and see Project ICE for yourself, the Capital City Film Fest is a place to be in Lansing this Saturday at 4 p.m. at Dart Auditorium. There'll be a screening. And you're working on some other dates, including possible dates this summer in Ann Arbor.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you can get all the information about this remarkable film at its website. You can go to projectice movie.com. www.thebrooklynbrewery.com. Bill Kleiner, thank you so much for talking with us and sharing the story of how you came to make this remarkable documentary.
Thank you, Cindy. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope that much of your audience has opportunity to see the film.